Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Now let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Father, as we come before you this morning, Father, we want to humble ourselves because we're so unworthy to be in your presence. The only thing that makes us worthy to be in your presence, Father, is Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, without the mercy and without the grace that we sang about, Father, we are absolutely nothing. We would be lost and we would be going our own way and doing our own thing, Father. But Father, we thank you and we praise you that you are our cornerstone. And Father, today, as we have come to worship and to praise you, Father, I pray that today that our worship and praise will be pleasing to you, Father. I pray for our pastor, Lord. I pray for Brother Cal as he gets up this morning and stands behind your sacred desk and shares the bread of life, Father, that, Lord, each one of us come hungry and expecting to hear from you. And Father, that you will just speak to us in a way that only you can. And Father, we know that so many people are hurting, so many things are going on in this world, Father, but we know that you are in charge of every bit of it. So Father, let us fear not. Fear not, because you are with us, Father. You promise, and we take that promise. Thank you for loving us, Father, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
All right, amen and amen. Xavier McDaniel is now with us. He's a late arrival, not only today, but last weekend. I think Teresa would say amen to that. We've already prayed for your boy, prayed for y'all. And so after worship service, y'all want to come over here and just touch them and give a warm welcome to Xavier. Is he with you all, or y'all got him back here? All right, very good, very good. We are in this, I think I've got two more messages in this prayer and fasting sermon series that we're on today, and then next week, probably our last one to talk about, maybe next week, the importance of praying together. And I hope this has been a great, but how did you like last Sunday? Wasn't that good? It was good for about 13 of y'all. All right. We had a great praise and prayer service and got to hear what God's doing. And from time to time, we need to do that type of thing. So it was a powerful service. But we were in this passage of Scripture that we're looking at this morning back in January the 27th of 2019. And I just can't get away from this because it is exactly what we need to hear again. These are some tough, tough days. Tough, tough days. Many of you all are, I don't know, I think in a congregation like this morning, I don't know everything that's going on, but so there's some folks here that are struggling. And there's some situations here that I don't know anything about. And I want to tell you, our nation and our country and our county, we're in a mess. And we're going through some extremely tough times. And I think sometimes the tendency when things go south on us or go bad on us is to think that God doesn't care. Or maybe He's nowhere around. Or He doesn't hear our prayers. Something like of that nature. But I want to tell you, fear, anxiety, and doubt is gripping this nation. I mean, fear, anxiety, and doubt. Those horrible weapons of Satan, they are with us. I mean, we're afraid of everything. We talked about this Wednesday night. I mean, there's a fear of the pandemic. There's a fear of dying. There's a fear of suffering. There's a fear of getting sick. There's a fear of illness. There's fear of going to the hospital. There's fear of going to the nursing home. Come on now. There's fear of going anywhere. And there's fear of being alone. There's fear of, let me just go ahead and put it like this. We're afraid to wear a mask. Some of us are afraid not to wear a mask. Some of us are afraid of getting vaccinated. Some of us are afraid of not getting vaccinated. Some of us are afraid of politics. Some of us are afraid of the far left. Some of us are afraid of the far right. I mean, we're afraid of communism. We're afraid of humanism. We're afraid of terrorism. We're afraid of socialism. Can I get a witness in the house? We're afraid of we're afraid of all these isms. And you know, we're afraid of job loss. We're afraid of income loss. I was talking to somebody this past week, afraid that the stock market's going to crash. We're worried about this. We're worried about that. We are in fear. And it's not supposed to be that way. Some of us are so worried and ridden by anxiety and stress and all that stuff. Should have been here Wednesday night. Had a good word for that. But we got a big word this morning for us. So let's all stand as we honor God's word. We're in 2 Corinthians. I'm trying to go back to Corinthians. 2 Chronicles. Mercy me. Chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And I want to read just one verse. We're going to talk about this passage again. But how many of you know that God can do more in one moment than we can do in a lifetime? Amen. Listen to this. Verse 12. Oh, this is King Jehoshaphat. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? Now listen to this. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you. Our eyes are upon you. Billy Walker, ask God to bless the word today, would you? One more time. Amen. Please be seated. King Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah were in an extremely tough situation. They're faced with insurmountable odds. There were three huge alien armies that were coming against the nation of Judah. And the scripture verse that we just read said that they were powerless against them. And just as bad, they didn't know what to do. And you know, from time to time, we wind up in situations like that, don't we? Something beyond our power, something beyond our scope of influence, and it's coming, and we don't know what to do. Well, in the midst of massive defeat, Jehoshaphat calls for the children of God to come together to pray and fast. He knew that was the best way for his people and his country to demonstrate how utterly helpless and hopeless we are without God's intervention. We are poor and needy, brothers and sisters. If you don't believe that, let me just let you in on some stuff. This is truth, and I don't like to hear it. I don't even really like to say it. But everything can be fantastic, great, wonderful today, and tomorrow all of hell itself is breaking loose in your life. Y'all understand what that's what they're experiencing here in this passage. And so as they began to pray and fast together as a nation, they were able somehow to get their eyes off of their situation and focus on God and keep fixed on Him. And when that happens, when we get desperate enough to focus on Christ, our cornerstone, when we get desperate enough to really focus in on Him and Him alone, you know what that does? That frees God up to do what only He can do. That's what praying and fasting together does for us. So I want to give you three quick truths to jump on and to write them in. You're going to need these. Hello? You're going to need these. But first of all, united, fervent prayer keeps our eyes on Him. No matter what happens to us, if we'll stay united together and pray together with fervency and passion, our eyes will stay on Him. There's something supernatural. Look at verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. These three armies are coming against him. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to, here it is, to seek the Lord. That's the purpose of praying together. To seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, I said, from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Look at, jump down to verse 13. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. The whole nation came together. They were united in prayer. And they were getting their eyes and their desire off of food, so much so that they were focused on Him and Him alone. There's something special about praying and fasting. Fasting gets you on praying ground because it tells God that your desire to eat, which is, hello, if you don't eat, what happens? Right. So if we give up that desire to eat and reveal to God that I desire your power and presence in me and on my life more than my desire to eat, and we pray with that in mind, listen, folks, that upsets the apple cart in hell and it gets the attention of heaven. That's what's going on here. And by the way, did you notice? Everybody's there. I wonder about us. I was talking to my daughter, Brittany, who's down in Waynesboro with my grandkids and everything. And I brought this up. I said, why do we pull up on the parking lot as a family and the babies go this way, the children go this way, the youth go this way, the adults go this way? Right here, what are they doing? They're all coming together. Everybody's together. And it is so, so important for the church, for the people of God to come together, united. We got something to pray about. Y'all do know that, right? I mean, what are we waiting on? Look at the mess our country's in. Look at the mess our world is in. What is it going to take for us to have this same kind of passion to come together and ask God to do something only He can do? Amen. So, look at this prayer. Man, this is so awesome. They came together to seek the Lord. And by the way, before I jump on verses 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, why did you come today? Why did you come to church today? To seek His face? If I would survey everybody at the door, is that what y'all all said? Oh, I came because we had second mile brunch. I'm here because I got a business deal I need to take care of. I'm here because I'm looking for a spouse. And that's not all a bad thing. It's better to look for a spouse here than, well. Why'd you come here today? I just want to say we ought to be here to seek the Lord. Whew. Look at this prayer from this. Now, kings weren't allowed to offer up sacrifices and to burn incense, but they could pray, they could lead prayer, and they could preach. And so listen to this, man. Look at verse 6. He said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are You not God in heaven? And do You not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in Your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand You? Man, that's powerful. He acknowledges the sovereignty and the power of God in this prayer and the protection of God in this prayer. And then look at verse 7. He expresses their own helplessness. He says, verse 7, are You not our God who drove out the inhabitants of the land before Your people Israel? and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever. What's he doing there? Well, he's reminding God of his covenant promises. By the way, if you're a child of God, he has promised you some things. And God likes to hear us dependent upon those promises. And remember, now, God, you said that you'd supply all of my need according to your riches and glory by Christ. You said that if we would trust in you with all of our heart and lean not unto our own understanding, that you would that you would direct our path. You said we need to claim those promises. And then verses 10 through 11, he expresses the helplessness and the weakness that we as human beings all have. And he cries out to God to save them. Look at verse 9. If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Whew. You got a loved one that needs salvation? We got a county that needs to be saved. We got a city that needs Jehovah God. We have a country that is lost and undone. When are we going to seek the Lord? In united, fervent prayer. So when we forsake the natural so that God might invoke the supernatural, hello, it moves all of heaven. Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do as the king of the nation of Israel. But what he did know to do is that spiritual breakthrough comes by keeping our eyes on him through prayer and fasting. How many of us would be a lot better off to operate under that principle? Every single one of us. Every one of us. So there's the first key to tackling insurmountable odds. When stuff is coming against you, just remember. I wish y'all, trying to tell folks about a prayer meeting and how God moved is kind of like going off on a mission trip and trying to come back and explain what God did on the mission trip. You understand what I'm saying? But man, the Lord is blessing our Wednesday night services. God's moving in a powerful way. And I want to encourage all of you. And I know how busy we are. Man, I'm just as busy as y'all are, believe it or not. I know there's all kinds of things and places we could be. And we've got other responsibilities. Some of us do things, you know. But I want to encourage you. When this church is meeting for prayer, we ought to be together. We need one another. And there's something special that's happening here at 6 o'clock. And by the way, our kids are all here too. We had 17 children back here last Wednesday night. So, put that on your schedule. I'm not saying this to get you guilty. I want to see God do something only He can do. Amen. Y'all with me? All right. Here's the second thing. I'm going to get bogged down here if I don't move on here. Obedience to God's Word keeps our eyes on Him. Look at verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel. Say that name with me. Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. Asaph wrote some of your psalms. Okay? So this Levite stands up in the midst of the assembly. Verse 15, he says, "Listen, all you of Judah and your inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you." Now, don't miss this, y'all. "Do not be afraid, nor dismayed." Look at your neighbor and say, "Don't be afraid." Look at your other neighbor and say, "You don't have to be afraid." "Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude." Here it is. Here's what I wanted y'all to get this day. "For the battle is not yours, but God's." Do you know that God will go to battle for you? He will fight your battles. You don't have to fight. All you've got to do is stand in faith and be filled by His Spirit. Whoo, what a great word for us today. The battle is the Lord's. This Levite stood up and you know, I wonder what people thought when he said that. You know, sometimes we tend to think this is our church. This is our ministry. This is my life. No, 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 no. This is His church. This is His ministry. And you are His people. Can I just go ahead and tell you? My life doesn't belong to me anymore. I died 56 years ago. And if you're a believer, that's what happened to you. I just belong to Him. And He fights our battles for us. And by the way, if He'll fight for me then, He'll fight for me right now. You ought to go home and read Revelation 19. Whew. And if God be for us, hello? Who can be against us? The battle is the Lord's. I don't know what you're going through today. But if you'll just simply obey God's word and trust Him and acknowledge Him as your Lord and Savior, you know, it's and by the way, if He's going to fight for me, guess who's going to win? He is. And because I belong to Him, I win. That's just kind of a byproduct. Are y'all tracking with me? Or is it too much second mile brunch? Obey the word of God. That's what He's saying. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be dismayed. Just trust God. He's going to take care of this issue for you. He's going to go to battle for you. He's going to go to war for you. And He's going to win. And if you got Jesus fighting for you, hallelujah. You can't get a better deal than that. We used to sing a song, Glenn, you'll remember this. Take your burdens to the Lord. And leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord. And what? Leave them there. Oh, mercy. And then I think it went, if you will trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. But you want to know what your pastor does? I'll pray. Those of you that know me know how emotional I am. I'll pray with passion. I'll pray with fervency. And I'll exercise my faith. And then I'll bring this deal before the Lord. And I'll lay my burdens there at the lap and at the feet of the King of Kings. And then I'll feel pretty good. And then you know what I'll do? I'll pick those burdens up again and take them off with me. Isn't that what we do? Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. He's going to fight that battle for you. It's His battle. It's His fight. And then here's the last thing. This one blows me away. If we're going to keep our eyes on Him, we've got to unite in fervent prayer. We've got to just simply obey the Word of God and trust that He's going to take care of things. That doesn't mean we just go sit down on the couch. Okay? But praise in the midst of trouble keeps our eyes on Him. Look at verse 19 of the same chapter. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. This is early. This is the next morning, okay, before the huge battle begins. And so, verse 20, so they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe His prophets, and you shall prosper. And when He had consulted with the people, He appointed those who should sing to the Lord. Well, before you get ready to go into battle, what should He have been organizing? Probably an army. He puts a choir together, Andrew. That's what He's doing. He said, watch this. He appointed those who should sing to the Lord, And who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord. That's the word hallelujah. For his mercy endures forever. Now look at verse 22. Now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. They had this stuff that we would call probably friendly fire, and all of Judah's enemies, all of King Jehoshaphat's enemies were killed. They were defeated. They were slain. And yet, there's tremendous faith exercised on Judah's part, because instead of putting together an army, they put together a choir. Now, I'm old school. Y'all can tell by looking at me. I believe in choirs. I believe in praise teams. But let me tell you, when we get to heaven, there's going to be all kinds of choirs. And so if there's choirs there, I said if there's choirs there, yeah, the people of God. Diana sings a song that Brooklyn Tabb won a Grammy on called I Never Lost My Praise. If we had about 7 minutes, it's a long song. We could get her to sing that today. But it is exactly what we're talking about here. There is something special that happens when you can get to the point where you can just praise God in the midst of your trouble. In the midst of war and in the midst of battle. If you can just lift up your voice and praise God. I wish y'all could have seen Ted. How many of y'all saw Ted Ketch's post on Facebook this week? Wow, wasn't that powerful? No matter what God does. Yeah, he needs. You want to speak for Ted? He's not here today.
Yeah, he was hooked up to a dialysis machine last night. He needs a new kidney. And the day after dialysis is not easy on him.
Yeah.
So he just needs a new kidney. We've had 3 tries that didn't work out. And then March 2nd will be our 4th try. And praise to God that we have Kate Tech. We're going to do a kidney swap.
Yeah. Amen.
She's going to give another family a kidney that she's a match for. And that family's going to give Tad a kidney.
Amen. Give God praise. What Tad was doing was giving God praise. He said, man, this may fall apart. This March 2nd deal may fall apart. I don't know. But I know this, that God's with me. And I'm going to praise Him no matter what happens. He said that over and over again. I wished He was here this morning so I could just hug the life out of Him. So proud of Him. Yes.
How we, the first time it happened, and you know this, got all excited. He called you.
Yes.
Crying at work, telling everybody. An hour later, they called back and said, "It's something happened." And we were so let down. And the next time we posted on Facebook, we waited a little bit, posted on Facebook. It fell through again. And I told him, I said, "We are not posting on Facebook. We're not doing anything until you're on the gurney heading back." And then lo and behold, and I didn't know it, he posted. And in his post, because God says to pray, not pray as you get closer to the surgery, just pray. And so, he is so much more faithful than I am. I am more doubtful. Unfortunately, that's the devil, I guess, in my mind. But, yeah, he knows it's going to happen. We just don't know.
Praise to the Lord, see. And here's another one over here. I mean, giving praise to God in the midst of struggle and suffering. And there's tremendous victory in that. If you can find a way to give God praise. Scripture says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. Don't fear anything, but pray about everything. With thanksgiving in your heart. Then let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's what Tad and Pam are doing. That's what Katie and Daniel are doing. And see if you can get that brother off of dialysis and get him here Wednesday night.
Well, Another thing, too, is though we don't want him to get COVID or the flu or anything before this surgery.
I got you.
So he may, you may, they may not see much of him.
Well, if he doesn't come here, I may go there. I believe in powerful prayer. And God said, I just know Tad's going to be okay. And he's in a win. He told me, he said, Cal, I'm in a win-win situation. He said, if I get a new kidney and I get a few more years, I'm here with my family and my kids and my grandchildren and I'm a part of the church family. He said, I win. But he said, if God doesn't take care of that for me, he said, I'm even better off there than I am here. Glory to God. I could go on and on and on here. I've had this same conversation with Rebecca over here, Van Beber. I mean, God is so big and so large and so huge. But praise in the midst of trouble helps us keep our eyes on Him. Amen. And I know it's tough when you're going through something you've never been through before. I'm there right now. I understand that. But God's got a plan. And He's got a purpose that's much larger than you can understand and that I can grab a hold of. But I want to tell you, God loves y'all. He loves every single person in this room. And He's got a plan. I tell this to my son. By the way, Isaac turned 16 this week. I can't believe it. And I tell this to him every time we're together. Son, it's not every day that a baby boy is born to a 49-year-old daddy and a 45-year-old mama. God's got a great plan and purpose for you being here. And so we talk about that. And he's praying that God would show him why He made him and why He created him and what His purpose is for your life. And that's what every one of us ought to be doing. Every one of us. God's got a plan and a purpose for you. There's a reason God healed David Littleton. And He healed him. Touched him. There's a reason God that Rebecca's sitting right here. I saw her. She was near death up there in the hospital. There's a reason God saved her and delivered her. And many of the rest of you are here. And I could go on and on and on and on this morning. But I want to tell you, our great God can do anything. And He loves you with an everlasting love. And He wants you to be one of His children. I shared this with our adult teen challenge boys, back around the first of the year. And man, it was powerful being with y'all that night. I enjoyed it. Had a young man pray to receive Christ that night. But God has a plan and a purpose for every single one of you. And by the way, so does the devil. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy your life. That's what he wants to do. But God wants you to have life. Great life. Supernatural, overflowing life. And the way you get that is by trusting Him and placing your total faith in Him. Not your money, not our military might, and bless God. I don't care what political party you're trusting in, they're going to let you down. Hello? Put your trust and faith in our great God. Hallelujah? I don't know what the Lord wants to do with this message, but I know that I know that I know there's somebody here that needs to focus and fix your eyes upon Him today. Yes, amen. And the way you do that, first off, is by giving your life to Christ. And you know how to do that? It's so simple that even a little young boy or girl can understand it. But you have to come to God with childlike faith, being willing to understand that sin has done a number on you. And sin has just wrecked and ruined God's plan for your life. And you come to Him and you say, Lord, I'm willing to turn from a life of sin. And I believe that Jesus is your Son. And He paid the price for all of my sin. And I don't totally understand all that, but Lord, today I want to turn from my sin and turn to Christ. And then call on Him to save you. And I'm living proof God will save anybody. Some of y'all are here today and you need to do that. Don't go another day without a relationship with Christ. Please do that today. Don't do it for anybody else. Do it for you and do it for His glory. And then once you come to Him, you're one of His children forever. Now, when you get out of line, He's going to whip you and spank you and punish you to get you back in line. Don't you think you're going to... He didn't let His Son get away with our sin. What makes us think we can get away with ours? But it's a lifestyle of repentance and faith each and every day. Would you bow your head with me? I don't do this every Sunday, but I'm going to do it today because I so believe this is what we need. If you don't know if you're saved today, if you don't know if you're one of God's children, or maybe you know that you're not, I want to ask you to just stand to your feet, and we're going to pray together. Just stand to your feet right now. If you need Christ, if you need to be saved, just stand to your feet. You've never really truly been born again. Just stand up right now. Everybody's got their head bowed. Nobody's looking around. Just stand up right where you are. That's right. God bless you, sir. Come on now, everybody, anybody. There's more of you here that need to trust Christ. That need to turn from your sin and by faith trust Christ. If you're willing to do that, just stand to your feet. Anybody else? Man, this is your opportunity. You know you need to do this right now. I believe God will save your soul. All right, for those of you that are standing, if you'll pray something like this in your heart, in your spirit, Father, I know that my sins have separated me from You. And I'm so sorry for living for me, but I want to live for You now. So I turn from my sinful, selfish desires. By faith, I'm trusting in Jesus Christ, Your Son, Father, and Him alone to save me from all my sin. I'm calling on Jesus today to save my soul. Save me. Forgive me. And now, Father, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name. Sir, look right up here at me. You know how much God loves you? You know God loves you. You love Him? Amen. And you know God's got a great plan for your life? Amen. In just a moment, we're going to sing, and there's going to be some other folks coming for prayer. I want you to come. I'm going to turn you over to one of them. We're going to get some stuff in your hands to help you get started right in your new life with Christ. And we're going to pray for you. I'm going to need one of our deacons to do this. In just a moment. And then God bless you. God bless you. You have done what you're supposed to do here today. And we believe that the Word of God says you've been saved by the power of Almighty God here today. Now the rest of you have your heads bowed and your eyes closed. You got something going on in your life and you desperately need to pray with other people. And we're going to open up this altar. We're going to ask you to pray. We're going to ask our people to pray over you that God might set you free from whatever it is, and that you would get your eyes fixed and focused on Him. We're going to ask all of you to come and pray. Father, touch this time of invitation to response. Thank You for this one who has prayed to receive Christ. Thank You for this one who has received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. But Lord, many of us have done that here today, and yet, God, we're in a battle. Give us the faith to trust You. Keep our eyes fixed on You, and we need to come and pray together. There's power in that. Do what you need to do during this season. In Jesus' name we pray. All of you all stand. Andrew's going to lead us.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor, about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.